If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I was face-to-face. I'm a social beast, you know? Okay?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last hour of the show, last show of the week, Mick Schaefer, 41 Action Sports, 41 Action News. Sport, is that
it's a weird deal? No, it's half the time they call me 41 Action Sports Director, Mick Schaefer. Sometimes they say 41 Action News Sports Director, Mick Schaefer. That sounds weird.
But I think that's probably technically correct, right? 41 Action News Sports
I guess
Director.
I do the sports on 41 Action News. They we need a new name. First of all, we need a... Not a rebrand, maybe a lower number. 41, that's UHF, right?
Yeah.
It's too high up.
Yeah.
And there's a story behind that. Basically, this used to be kind of like the old Fox station. It was an old business channel. Basically, the Association of Businessmen and Women ran the station in Kansas City. But then Fox came on, and Fox, Big Fox, wanted Kansas City to be a hub. So they became an O&O, which is an owned and operated. And so they bought out the NBC station, which was Channel 4, long before you were alive.
Oh, my.
Channel 4 used to be NBC.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yes. And they switched it. Fox became 4, and then NBC became 41.
So what are you campaigning for? Was there a number in mind you'd like to have?
Great question. 13 is my favorite number. To not take it, 13 news.
Is there a 13 in like St. Joe or Topeka or something? I feel like I've seen. I ask
yeah,
that because
there's one
I don't.
In Topeka.
I don't think I've ever lived in a place that's had a channel 13.
Yeah, Topeka's got one. 13. They've got a 27. I used to work at 27.
27.
I've worked at some high numbers.
Yeah. What are your numbers?
27.
What's your number, Mick?
27.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good one, right? 10.
Yeah.
And now 41. And then Metro Sports, which really it wasn't on broadcast, but it was on Channel 30 on most cable stations.
Companies. I like a good branding conversation, and I do think there's something to be said for 41 just being kind of outrageous. Like it's like wearing number 99 in baseball. Mm-hmm. It's like isn't Puig wearing 99 still?
It's like Rodman post the
yes.
Pistons, whatever number he was wearing, 91, 99,
yes.
87, mm-hmm. just awful. But it's so out there that it maybe catches your eye a little bit.
Yeah, I think that that's actually something to that. Is there... hold on. Can there be a number one? Can a news channel be number one?
There's New York One, but that is a cable station.
I don't know if there's any
so.
Ones.
I think it's basically 2 through 13, usually. That's the VHF.
And two,
band.
Two is strong. Two is good. We've covered this multiple times that I have an unashamed, undying love for Derek Jeter. That's just when I was watching baseball. It's when I cared about baseball. Derek Jeter was great. Number two, KSHB. I'll tell you what, 2 Action News is nothing. 41 Action News feels like a full name. Hi, Mick Schaefer here from Channel 2. I guess you could say Channel 2. Channel 2 Action News? Is that anything?
Wherever I've been, I've had a mouthful to say at the end of stories. At one time, this would have been like 6 or 7 years ago, if I was on the road, say, with the Jayhawks, I was supposed to say who I was with, where I was, and then sign out with the standard out cue of the station and my name.
Yeah.
I think I counted. It was like 14 to 16 words I had to say. It was, with the Jayhawks in Des Moines, I'm Mick Schaefer. Time Warner Cable Sports Channel.
You had to time that out.
Yeah.
You had to cut your cast down by eight seconds.
Yeah, if I had a minute 30, I had to make sure I only went a minute 20 with the story because
yeah.
it took 10 seconds to say, hey, with the Jayhawks in Des Moines at the NCAA tournament, I'm Mick Schaefer, Time Warner Cable Sports Channel.
Signing off here from Des Moines, covering
Bye,
the Jayhawks, at Mick Schaefer on Twitter. Talk to you later here on the news channel.
And it always sucked, right? Because a lot of times you're doing what's called a look live or an as live, so you're taping it. You're not live, and you want to get it right.
It's good that we don't do that in radio.
No, it's
that
great.
That would be a pain.
So say it's like 20 seconds long, and you're sometimes you stumble through a few of them, and you get through 18 seconds of it. You get through all of it, and then you screw up the out cue. That's the worst part at the restart.
Yeah, because like if you just stumble live, Bleep happens.
Live's great.
Power through it.
Live, it's gone. It's out there. It's
why,
over.
Why is that different? Why do we care differently? And I do this too. Whenever, if I ever have to like tape anything audio wise or like anything like that at all, if I'm just doing it solo and I got like a little 2 minute thing and I say, Patrick Mahomes signs $500 million, $300 million. No, I'll just start it over again.
Yeah.
Why don't we just power through?
I don't know.
If it looks live, no one would know the difference. Is that about us, or is it a fear of our superiors?
Well, I mean, look,
do we have a desire to look good?
There's some live shots on TV and some live radio segments that just crash and burn. Don't get me wrong, okay?
Yeah.
they go really bad.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. If there's a little bit of a stumble or whatever, yeah, just power through. And it all depends on, like, if I'm doing like a 10-second stand up.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna get exactly right, even if it takes two or three times.
Even if it's just high Mitch Schaefer here seconds. Covering the Jayhawks from Des Moines, yeah.
But
that's your whole thing.
But sometimes, like, when we're on the road with Miami for a morning shot, they were like, all right, you've got like 2 minutes to just kind of talk about what the atmosphere was where you were last night. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do that in one take.
Yes.
And if I hem and haw a little bit or if I stumble, I'm gonna power through.
Yep.
Because I ain't getting it right in 2 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not like Robert Downey Jr. who can do like these long extended scenes that last for 10, 15 minutes where he nails every line. No, that's not me. Not going to do that.
What was your worst live shot ever? Like is there a time you think, man, I beefed that thing from 10 years ago or whenever?
Yeah.
Is there one of those?
There's plenty of those. I remember my first live shot, very first one. I was at a Washburn Emporia State game, went live. So scared. And everybody told me, they're like, you know what? Hey, your first live shot always goes fine. It's your second one that usually crashes and burns because you've put so much into your first one. So I'm driving out there. I'm at Channel 27 in Topeka, and I'm memorizing it down to the syllable, which mm-hmm. is what you don't want to do, mm-hmm. right? Because you're thinking about the words as opposed to actually thinking about what you're saying, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. That's the secret. And so I get out there, and I already knew what the guy tossing to me was going to say. And my first line was like, Taylor, you really hit the nail on the head.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. I was like, Taylor, yeah, you really hit the head on the hammer.
No.
You got it right. I was just downhill from there. It was so bad. So what they said was BS. My first live shot was awful.
you hit the nail on the hammerhead.
No, you hit the head on the hammer, the nail with the thing when you're construction, like when you're putting up walls in a house. Yeah.
Man, boom, goes dynamite.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
In 1948, Channel 1 was officially taken out of use because the frequencies used for this channel are not suitable for TV transmission.
Makes sense.
There's too much static and the picture quality was not good.
Yeah. That's why when growing up, Channel 2 for us was HBO, and so it was a cable channel. Maybe that's why they took it away. But yeah, three. You know why? So like on, at least it used to be the case. I don't know. Maybe we've advanced in technology to where it's not anymore. But do you know why? Because I always wondered, like on my cable box, channel 41 isn't on 41. Channel 9 isn't on 9. 5 isn't on 5, right? It's on different, like we're on 13 on, I think, like Spectrum. 41 is.
Really?
All of them are different.
I'm going to ask you about cable.
I guess I didn't
second.
Realize that.
Yeah, they're all different. They're all different.
Like DirecTV, which is what we have in here, they sync up.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, that makes.
Right?
Yep. Because, so you go 15 today, we play 41 action.
You go to
40, 5 to 7. I go to 41.
Channel 41
yeah.
on your. Okay. So it's changed. But back in the day, they were worried about ghosting because the broadcast signal sometimes would kind of seep through.
Okay.
And so if you were on channel, you know, say 9.
Right.
And the broadcast of 9 seeped through, you would kind of see two kind of images there. They'd be a little bit off. They call it ghosting. So that's why they did that.
So this is something that I had in the notes from like 2 full weeks ago, and I remember Rudy being like, wow, you have opinions about YouTube TV raising its rates?
Yeah, it sucks.
But I want to ask you about it, because you're going to be more informed about it than I am. Here, let me just bounce this off of you, and you tell me what makes sense. So YouTube TV raises its prices.
For a second time.
Yeah.
When I first got it, it was $39, then they raised it to $54.
So you have it right now.
I've had it for 2 years.
So this to me felt inevitable that the streaming services would ultimately keep raising their prices up to right where all of the cable prices would be, because it's the same It is the same thing.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing. They're bundling all the channels and everything and saying, here's what you pay for all of this and whatnot. I have two things. One, are we eventually going to break this system and just let people... I have an antenna at home. I have an antenna and the internet. And so I can watch Sunday Sound Off whenever I'm on. And that's not the only time I watch it, of course. That's not true. But I can watch Sunday Sound Off with just a powered antenna that I bought for $25 and get all the local channels in the area. Are we going to eventually be able to just do buy channels on demand? And also, I don't understand... Radio, you can get for free anywhere. But we have ads to support that. You have subscription services like HBO where you pay for them, but there aren't ads. I don't understand why, like, cable television has both. You pay for them and then they advertise to you. Is it just super expensive? Or are they just greedy? Is there a way around
this?
No,
they're not greedy. You're finding out now. YouTube's like, no, we can't sustain this. We have to raise our rates like all the cable companies. Everybody's just getting by. Have we not learned this? Everybody's getting by. Barely. These colleges are rolling in money. Their budgets, they open your books. You have too much money. Sports are getting dropped like nobody's business. After like 3 months off, they were barely getting by.
Right.
It all sucks. None of us are saving anything. Individually, true. At businesses, at universities, at large corporations, it just takes a few rainy days and we're done for.
And it's pouring right now.
It's pouring right now.
It is
so, yes, that's what we're learning, that, oh, maybe when I was bitching and moaning about the cable companies on their costs, maybe that was the cost of doing business. And we're seeing that now with YouTube TV, with Hulu, with everything else. And hopefully something comes in and they've got a lot of money behind it and they undercut it and I'll drop down and take that. And then that'll skyrocket.
Right. Are we just in that cycle forever, though? Because it feels like it's cyclical enough that...
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to need something dramatically different.
Yeah, you have to pay for stuff.
Everything's
expensive.
Everything's expensive. That's
everything's
true.
$300. I'm going to write a book. Everything's $300. Like,
how much does that book cost?
$300.
$300.
You know, $299. Bargain.
Everything except for this cost $300 by Mick Schaefer.
What's the meme out there? Somebody tried to be like really deep and philosophical and was like, if you had $100 million on the table and a book right next to it entitled How to Make $100 Million, I'm taking the book. Real people know why. Somebody wrote a meme, and it was the book. You open the book, it says...
It's right there!
Take the $100 million.
Yes!
It's right there. That's what the book would tell you. It's like, hey, man, look to your left.
Yeah. So that's going to be the premise of my book right there. Yeah.
I think that's great. I think you should write that.
Everything's $300.
I don't know. For me, the cable TV thing that I'm fully open to you just explaining to me like I'm five is there. I don't even have YouTube TV because I would like four channels. Like I would happily pay the itemized prices for like four or five channels that I actually
care
about.
It's called a la
carte. Right, but that's not really on the table anywhere. And so I have to pay for what's the worst channel? And I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble.
Oxygen.
Oxygen. That sounds great. Did you say True TV?
That's got basketball.
They got basketball.
On. That's what I mean. But that's what makes to me. That's why they're one of the worst. Like nobody watches
them.
And then there's this one day.
Got 48
of the
hours.
Year.
You ever watch 48 Hours? The true crime stuff.
No.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But they're just like they just re-air 48 Hours, right? Isn't 48 Hours like originally
aired
fine,
though?
Like,
you know what? Netflix is just re-air and half its crap,
that's
and we all watch Netflix.
That's a good point.
Watching The Office yet again.
$12 a month.
We complained about reruns for a good portion of our lives, and now we're paying money for reruns on demand.
Yeah, no, it's there's probably worse than Oxygen.
But that's
I'm
fine.
Sure,
but I'm paying money for channels that I have no interest in.
Yes, it's the same thing we were complaining about with cable companies.
Can we fix that?
And
Nick?
No! Oh, stop asking me.
Why can't I just pay?
And I hate seafood.
What is?
Do you guys have headphones on? Do they work?
What is NFL Network's cut if they're a part of a $60 a month bundle or whatever? Why can't I just give NFL Network $3 and double whatever their share? Let's say they're making $1.50 off that for me every month. Why can't I just give them $3?
Well, they can't distribute it to you. They can't just zap it to your place. They gotta
But can't they now? Is that not more likely now? Isn't that kind of what YouTube TV is doing? Because we're not going built-in cable systems.
But the YouTube TV is still a carrier of dozens of channels.
I don't need those of channels. I want NFL Network
you
and
can.
Oxygen.
I know. Right?
I want Freeform. I want Freeform that just re-airs Harry Potter movies.
I'm sure you, if you wanted to click around enough, you could get all the programming on NFL Network on NFL.com, right? Or pretty close to it?
Not live stuff, but yeah, probably.
Well, no, yeah. That's a contract deal. You're not being live, at least a lot of live sports online.
You can find it. I wouldn't know how, but some people told can find that on the deep web.
I'll give you one that's stupid. We pay, ESPN jacks up your cable bill, your YouTube bill, your everything bill more than any other channel, right? Mm-hmm. It's fine. Yeah. I get it. It's a collection of networks. Everybody watches it. We love sports, whatever. But then to charge again on top of it for ESPN Plus to watch games, that is price gouge. That is doubling up, doubling down.
Yeah.
Whatever they're doing, they're doubling it, and that is dumb. But I do have it, and I'm probably going to get the fight on Saturday.
Which is Saturday? Tomorrow. Is that
Masvidal and Guzman? Right?
That's the first one that I've been vaguely interested in a very long time.
I wasn't until my 13-year-old was like, Dad, we got... And then he educated me. I'm like, okay. He's like, Masvidal's going to win. I'm like, okay. I've seen him fight. And then there's a lot of other fights underneath. Usually the undercard's really good. And so they got at 6 o'clock, the free undercard, the one that's on ESPN. And then like at 9, the main event undercard starts on the pay-per-view.
You mentioned The Office because that's contractually obligated to that we talk about The Office in this hour every
feels
week.
Like it.
Yesterday, I got in and Lebo had just begun recording an interview with Brian Bumgartner, who plays
Kevin
in The Office. I stepped in. You are now following Kevin. We played Kevin from The Office yesterday on this show. And he is starting a podcast called An Oral History of The Office.
Oh.
He has done...
I was about to make fun of it, because every time I hear, I'm starting a podcast...
No, I know.
Everybody's going to listen, I'm sure.
I think I said on Wednesday's show, we don't need any more podcasts anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday, we got a new podcast alert from Kevin from The Office, and I'm 100% in.
Yeah,
it is he did over 100 hours of interviews with cast and staff and everyone who had anything to do with The Office, and they're paring it down to a 12-episode series on Spotify, and I am legitimately excited for that.
No, absolutely.
I want to know why it worked. His whole thing is like, let's figure out why this connected with so many people. And I had a theory, and he liked my theory. What's your theory?
Why it connected with so many people?
And why also it's had such a second life.
I mean, I think there's... What's the basis of, like, pretty much 90% of the comedies out there? In an apartment in New York,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that's... Most people don't live in apartments in New York, except for the people who write TV shows, right?
Yeah.
And so I get it. You're right about what you know. But I think there's a ton more Scrantons out there than there are in New York's. Scranton's
that's
like...
That's interesting.
Scranton's Wichita, right? Scranton could be Olathe.
Yeah.
Scranton could be, you know, Columbia or anywhere around here. And then that office setting, there's nothing special. It's just bland. It's cubicles. Like, oh, yeah, no, I've worked in a place like that.
I've seen that place.
Yeah, and then they spread the comedy out among so many people.
Yeah.
I think the show is driven, obviously, by Steve Carell, who's just brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And then right behind him was Dwight, mm-hmm. that Rainn Wilson's character. You had your everyman that everybody related to, and Jim and Pam on the female side, but then all these quirky characters that you could always go to. They had mm-hmm. they developed their characters. They had their own quirks,
mm-hmm.
right? And it just made me you had the kind of the slutty alcoholic over there in Meredith, right? You had the dullard, the bigger guy, in Kevin. You had I'm forgetting names here.
The
Ryan, who's the worst.
Creed. Ryan, who's the best.
Creed, who's that just out there. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if that's the right answer, but that's what popped into my head.
It's interesting. I hadn't thought about the setting
thing. So, like, how many shows, because I was thinking about this, too. This is one of the things that I think makes Office special also. It's just where it's unique on its own. How many shows where the 15th most popular character is wildly popular? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you ranked all the characters, you're getting down to 15, and that character is wildly popular. Like, like on most shows, again, there's three, four guys. And The Office has its main...
The character work
like,
incredible.
Its main core.
Yeah.
But you can go 15, 16, 17 characters deep and find these amazing characters with these amazing developments for their characters, too. They're not just the same people throughout the entirety. You actually see development.
And they weren't like, I mean, most of the people weren't like famous actors beforehand who were going to bounce to something else. A lot of them, like Phyllis was like a behind-the-scenes
person,
right? She was the
casting
director.
Yeah.
And they're like, nobody fits better than you. Yeah. And so they had her go and act, and she wasn't a great actress, but that kind of fit because we're supposed to make
Phyllis,
it real, right?
Yeah, she would read the lines, I think, with the Angela.
Right.
And they were just like, you know what? You're doing this better than the people that we've done for Phyllis. You should be Phyllis.
But like Kelly was a writer on the show. Yep. Ryan's a writer on the show.
Toby was a writer.
So many of the people that were
Mose.
Behind the scenes were in front of the camera as well.
Yes. Mose is Mike Schur.
Yes,
who
oh, really?
Parks and Rec.
I know that.
He's Ken Tremendous on Twitter. And like he wrote a whole thing. Like he went to Miami for like a week and wrote about the Libertard show. Like he loves that show. And he shows up as Mose.
Funny thing with him is, and I got this from listening to The Office Ladies, they knew that they wanted him to do something, like, right, kind of be that character. So they made him start growing out the beard. So like the beard was real. And
awesome.
For the longest time, they were like, he was like, you know, can I just put a, like shave this and put a fake beard on?
Cause
they were saying like, he goes to not like super fancy events, but like he's a social person and he would be going to these social places looking like, you know, essentially just, you know, like looking like Mose.
Yeah.
And so like finally just like one day he had to shave it for just like, there was like a reason why he had to shave it and they put a fake one on and like Greg Daniels. Yes.
Yeah.
Just like did not realize it was a fake one, and that's when he was finally allowed. Like after like 3 years, he was finally allowed to actually shave the beard and just wear.
Okay,
a fake beard.
So do you know? Did you, Nick, hear the story about John Krasinski's wig?
It's the same story.
Greg Daniels is. I did not heard that. Greg Daniels is not very perceptive.
So which was it when he had the floppy hair? That was a wig.
When he goes to interview, you know, for the corporate job with when he's still with Karen, like right when he leaves, because he did Leatherheads.
Yes,
correct.
With George Clooney.
That was a good
I don't
film.
Remember him being that. I think I saw that. And
I remember the movie.
He had glasses and a shaved head, right? And
like much shorter hair. Like
what was
just
the name?
More
was
of
a Leatherhead. That was the name.
Yeah.
It was Leatherheads for sure. I think I might have seen Leatherheads before I saw The Office.
Yeah, was it Jarhead?
No,
that's
Jarhead is.
That sounds familiar though.
Jake Gyllenhaal? I'm pretty sure did Jarhead. That was
Riverdale.
Oh, Leather. No. Okay, yeah. Okay,
Jughead is from Riverdale.
Yeah. Jughead is from Riverdale.
Okay, so Leatherheads is about the rugby or like
it's about
the,
football. Like back in like the 30s.
I was thinking he might have been in Jarhead. He was in a war film.
During
The Office.
Okay, during The Office, because right now he's been doing the Tom Clancy. Book on
Amazon.
Well, he's
reinvented himself. He's like this badass now.
Yeah,
he's gonna be in the Marvel movies. He's gonna be Mr. Fantastic.
Yep. And then, great director, right? The Quiet Place is a really good film.
Yeah.
There, another one.
But yeah, so whenever he went to go film Leatherheads, he asked Greg Daniels, like, hey, can I do this thing and shave my head and just wear a wig? And he said no. And then he did it anyway, and he came back wearing a wig, and he couldn't tell.
They couldn't tell.
and so, yeah, Greg Daniels was totally against the idea of the wig, so Krasinski had to keep it hush-hush that he'd cut his hair. One of the hair and makeup people talked recently.
He was in Jarhead, by the way.
Jarhead and Leatherheads, yeah.
Wow.
He had glasses.
You put head at the end of a movie name and he's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also playing Hey Arnold in the live action remake, so he could be football head.
He should have been in Conehead.
Should have been Conehead.
Get that in.
John told me later that Greg said to him, John, I'll know if it's a wig. You can't fake that kind of thing. As he's staring at him with the wig on, and then John's like, really? I don't think you would. And he takes it off right in front of him.
That is hilarious.
Oh, one of the hair and makeup people wrote a book, it looks like, maybe. The Office, The Untold Story of the Greatest Sitcom of the 2000s by Andy Green.
Well, and then my son has watched, like, every year they have Office bloopers, and it's, like, I don't know, half an hour long on YouTube, and he's watched every episode of that from every season.
The setting thing is really interesting. That's something I'd not considered at all, because I imagine it's also still popular for people who are not in a version of Scranton or whatever, but the character work is so good, and they have plenty of other touchstones for like you said, being in a huge apartment in New York for some reason. And also related to Mike, sure, Parks and Rec is in Pawnee, Indiana. Like there is an element of that. Most of us haven't done government work, but
we've been to. I grew up in Pawnee.
We've been to Pawnee. We've grown up in Pawnees.
We had this discussion also like weeks ago. If Kansas City is, how far into Parks and Rec have you gotten?
We stopped.
You're done? You're out?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Wow. I'm back at the station. I'm actually working now. Kids are doing activities now, so it's, TV isn't number one in our life anymore. The show was bad.
You guys just got busy.
No, I watched it. I've watched a lot of the episodes. It's fine. It's No Office, though. It isn't. Let's not beat around the bush. It is No Office.
I have had my comfort show be Parks and Rec for a little bit.
Oh, boy.
And so I haven't revisited The Office in a minute, and I'm trying to figure out why I'm hesitating to agree with you, honestly, because I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I love Parks and Rec. The Office, and part of this comes down to is The Office created all those shows, essentially.
Okay, here's I'm cutting you off because I think I've figured it out. I think Parks and Rec has less of those moments of comedy through cringiness.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just don't need cringe comedy. Sometimes I need to just have something on while I'm eating cereal. You know what I mean? Like, I just...
The thing with Parks and Rec, there is no... Like, the Michael Scott character doesn't really exist, right? Like, just the that cringiness.
Yeah, I think they tried
to with Leslie Knope, but she's not there.
Congressman Jam, it has a lot of that,
yeah,
but he's a smaller character.
Yes, that's what I meant, yeah.
No,
he is extremely cringe, yes.
But, like, and he doesn't come around that often, but no, that's a good point. I mentioned the word comfort when we were talking to Brian. He thought that there's something to that also. Like, once you've gotten through the show, you go back to characters that you know.
Yeah.
And they're fictional characters, but you feel like you know them. And then Lebo and I ended up talking a little bit about, like, that's kind of all of this also. Mm-hmm. Like, I did a podcast with a guy this morning who was just, like, a fan of the shows, and talked to Steven recently also, and was talking about, like, how interesting it is to actually talk to a person that you've listened to and everything, meaning Steven, of course, not me. And the way that can be created through forms of media, either with fictional characters or with people that are, like, just on a microphone that you are listening to far away from or watching on television, mm-hmm. like, it's a really bizarre thing that we all do it. We all have other places that we could draw that connection point to, even being in the media. But I find it extremely interesting and also just very odd as, like, a phenomenon.
You know, like... Billie Eilish is supposedly the biggest Office fan in the world.
Yes. Have you seen that video with Rainn Wilson? Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he surprised her and did an Office quiz. There's an Office board game out there that I'm definitely getting for the family here.
Oh, that'd be good. Is it coming out soon or it's out?
It's out. It's got to be out by now. My gosh, show's been off the air for years and years.
Well, you said, like, you were going to get it. So.
Well, I'm going to get it.
And this is what I thought there was a chance of this. I was like, I assume there's a handful of Office board games. Like, there's a version of Clue, the Office edition. Let's see. There's the Office downsizing board game. Dundercards.
What is Dundercards?
It says Dundercards, full The Office TV show card game.
The Office downsizing game has poor reviews.
Yeah, this one is for sale on Etsy, so I think somebody just created this. Like, my guess is not super official.
This is interesting. Can you avoid getting downsized? Again, the reviews on this, it has like 2.5 stars.
One of the questions. It's just like a black card, and it says, what type of bear is best?
Oh, that's just Cards Against Humanity, but with the office theme. Nice. Okay, I get it. Someone said, how long does this take to play the game Downsizing? And it said, the answer is, I don't think the average human lifespan is long enough. You literally have to be a nuclear physicist to be able to understand it. Good luck, buddy. So you need 5 to 10 players. All right, well, maybe we'll make an Office board game.
Yep.
It's Mick Schaefer of 41 for now, Action Just News. 41. That won't make sense if you tuned in within the last 10 minutes. We'll take a break and talk about something else with Mick whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I can think of no two better people to spend my Friday nights with.
Naked and drunk.
Than Randy and Jake. Rudy and Josh.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News, still with us here on Sports Radio 810, 4.1. You can't have a decimal. That exists, though, by the way, which I found out whenever I bought the antenna, that, like, there are, like, 0.1, like there's like a 41.2 that actually, no kidding, whenever I first moved into my apartment and had only had the antenna and no Wi-Fi yet, I think one of the 41 point somethings is basically was just doing an office marathon with commercials and everything. I just put it on and that was my entertainment for like 3 days.
Yeah, people don't realize that HD signal is transmitted over broadcast, over the air. So, I mean, you need an HD antenna, and it's just as crisp and clean as it coming through your cable box or satellite or YouTube or anything else. You got to do the points.
I didn't know. I have, like, a Roku, so there's no numbers on the remote, which I'm still not totally on board with still, Roku. Why would just give me a number pad? But if you're just clicking up, you hit 41, and then 41.1, and then 41.2, and then you find...
Yeah, just like, you don't need numbers on the Roku or the Apple TV.
Yeah, but if you
it's a different way of watching. You got to wrap your brain around a different way of watching TV.
Yeah, it is odd. You want to just talk about TV again for another half hour? That worked last time. I think that was pretty good. Who do you think would live in a fight? Win in a fight, LeBron or Mike Tyson? Right now, next on Undisputed.
Is that a question?
Skip Bayless tweeted why LeBron would have no chance against Tyson in a fight on Undisputed.
Mike Tyson would kick his butt.
Here's the thing.
I hesitated first, but like, fighting's a thing.
Yes.
That's a skill.
Yes.
That is a skill, even though he's 50-something.
I think we found out.
52.
Yeah, like 52, 54.
You see the video of him recently of Tyson like training?
Yes.
He's been training.
Yeah. Terrifying.
It's wild.
Yes. Kick anyone's ass.
Yes.
LeBron does have like
reach.
A foot on him, reach-wise. Mike Tyson's 5'10".
A lot of times, though, we mistake muscles and rip for being tough, which I mean,
Mike
LeBron's
Tyson's
very
also,
tough.
But Mike Tyson's a fighter, though.
Your reach might be too long, because that's a lot of action that's got to get going. Mike Tyson's now got more time to react.
That's true.
Because that wind-up
and
getting to Mike Tyson, there's a lot more movement.
His reach would only be beneficial for keeping him away,
right.
But no, I would say, I mean, we learned with the Mayweather fight against the
McGregor
that... Okay, McGregor is a fighter, you know, an MMA guy. He has a lot of different skills, but like boxing he was decent at, but not like Mayweather. And Mayweather,
boxer. How old? What do you think the age difference is between Floyd Mayweather and Mike Tyson?
Floyd Mayweather and Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
12 years. Is he 40?
Mayweather is 43.
So like 9 years, huh?
I think it's 9 years. This blew my mind. Tyson is 54. It's 11 years.
Yeah. Okay.
That blew my mind. Partially because Mike Tyson wasn't... I guess we figured this out last night. Mike Tyson just wasn't really... I have not seen Mike Tyson fight. Mm-hmm. And Floyd Mayweather, I feel like, is the star fighter that I have seen. Mm-hmm. And so that blew my mind. It doesn't seem like your mind is blown because you guessed it correctly. So that might just be a generational thing.
Mick grew up, though, seeing all of Mike Tyson fight. So it's just like...
Yeah.
He was boxing, obviously, when I was alive. But when I was really cognizant of just of sports, Mike Tyson's career was essentially, like, it was just done at that point, essentially. Like, he still boxed occasionally. I think you said 2005 was his last official fight.
He's got pigeons.
But, like, I know Mike Tyson as the guy who bit the ear at one time and was in The Hangover. That's my Mike Tyson.
That's right.
Yeah, no, the Buster Douglas was the biggest upset I had ever seen in sports at that point.
What year was that? I should probably know that.
Early 90s, 93 or something like that. I can't remember, but I remember watching it on HBO. It was an event. I mean, it was a reason to get HBO. I mean...
1990. So
90.
The year I was born.
So the...
So this was before I was born. February 11th.
It was... unreal. I mean, he was a force.
Yeah.
And obviously, Mike Tyson's punch out was one of the biggest games on
Nintendo.
That's also how I know Mike Tyson, because I remember the game.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time in arcades on the arcade version, holding the gloves and just boxing and weaving.
That's so good. They came out with the glove around Mike Tyson, and supposedly it was a deal where we thought that you could just punch, punch in the work. No, it was you had to hold your arm out at the right point. And for a right punch, you kind of went like that. Left punch, you went like that. And then do some other stuff. You had to take your other hand, and there's a keypad. And,
like,
and
put yourself in. It was Lightyear.
It was the Nintendo Power Glove.
Yeah, it's Power Glove.
Yeah.
We always
thought
it'd be actual like punching.
Yes.
No, it was like turning your wrist. There,
it was supposed to. So like, because I'd seen a YouTube video, and this not that long ago, like on how it was just supposed to like change everything. And then it was just the just so underwhelming.
Do you have you like been infatuated at any point by like Beat Saber and stuff like that, like VR? You know Beat Saber?
I know VR.
Okay, so Beat Saber is a VR thing where it's very much like a few evolutions out of like Guitar Hero in terms of like concept. VR
like
headset
Dance
on
Dance Revolution.
Yeah, that's
you have the like little sabers. You have those. Yeah. Yeah, I did that the other day.
Oh,
So my kid wants it so bad, and it's like whatever $400 because he's got a couple buddies. I'm like, no way, absolutely not. Birthday coming up, maybe we'll ask grandparents. But then they had it at the house, and you got to try it. And so I did it. I'm like, oh yeah,
okay.
Let's get to
okay. Interesting. I have not played it yet. I've just
really
seen
cool.
lots of people talk about.
Also,
it.
Also, side note, little life hack that I feel like all kids need to learn.
Yes,
it's all right to like go to multiple relatives and be like, hey, can we team up on a pro? Like you're each going to give me something
good.
That's like say $100.
You are Nick Fury in your own Christmas present.
But I want something that worth $300. So can we just like come together?
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with just the one present. Like, it's a life hack that all kids need to learn at some point. I don't remember when I learned this, but at some point I just started realizing I'm going to double. If we all just kind of come together,
that's good.
I can get the real thing that I want.
Yeah, I don't need three things worth $50.
Yeah,
I need Beat
this
Saber.
Thing. I just want Beat Saber.
So does it like fulfill the Star Wars Jedi lightsaber fantasy thing, or is it just you're just in it and it?
No, I mean how you move your hands is how the saber, at least whatever game thing I was playing, they're throwing some squares and some triangles at me, and so it was acting up my. Probably look like an idiot, but my hands are moving all
doesn't
over
matter.
The place. And so, yes, it was better than the Nintendo Power Glove.
That's good. I'm glad that we've covered
way better.
Some ground there. What's the last video game that you like played, like that you like finished?
What do you mean, like finished? Like Saving the Princess finished?
I mean that you sunk some time into.
It would have to be. Well, I could play Mario Kart.
Okay.
All day.
But you're still, I think we've talked about this. You're N64 Mario Kart still? Or
I played it last on, probably played it last on the Wii.
The Wii Mario Kart was great.
It was great. They had the wheel. I didn't use the wheel.
Nope.
But you could turn it sideways and.
Nunchuck was my life.
Yeah,
I loved
nunchuck.
The nunchuck driver.
And so, but other games on there, they had the Wii Sports games. We would stay. Because that was cool. I'm less of a, I'm an athlete, right?
That's
okay.
Right.
I'm
That's
less
right.
of a AB, up, down, nerd, I'll never kiss a girl guy. Okay.
Right.
So,
right.
So I like having the nunchuck and doing the bowling, right? Doing the golf.
Yeah.
Love the golf.
So we might get you on this VR hook also.
Does Golden Tee count?
Golden Tee.
The golf game.
Yeah,
the golf game.
Yeah, are you kidding me? You don't know what Golden Tee
is. I thought you said golden and then pause, and I was waiting for you to say golden eye, and I was like, sure, that's just
Golden Tee count.
I mean, how much, how many quarters have you put into a Golden Tee
game?
So
it's funny, I never played it at like a restaurant or a bar or an arcade, but I've got one buddy who has the old version of it, who's just like the arcade. I've got another buddy who's got a new version of it. It's white, where it's like up on a flat screen, and it's a big old rolling ball.
Oh yeah,
and you go after it, and it is state of the art, and it is awesome.
That sounds fantastic.
It is so much fun. I could play that all night as well.
Yeah, I can totally.
But
see,
I'm not a Fortnite guy. I watch my kids play Fortnite.
Never really got.
Sometimes I watch my kids watch other people play Fortnite. I do not understand that phenomenon. I'm going to watch somebody on YouTube play Fortnite, or I'm going to watch somebody on YouTube play Minecraft.
Your whole job is watching other people play sports, though. Like, it's not that far off. Also, I tell you honestly, whenever it's like a specific streamer, it goes back to the character thing again. This is a
but
character that I'm familiar
sports.
With.
And video games aren't sports. End of story. They're not sports.
That's fine. I think it's a competition.
That's accurate. It's not.
It's
fine.
It's a competition thing and a character that you.
Everything
that you
is competition.
It's entertainment.
Everything in life
it's
is
who
competition.
You're
yeah. Yeah. I don't. I would imagine that most of the time they're watching a specific recurring
some guy
few
named
people.
Ninja or
whatever. Making so much money.
So much.
God, he makes so much money.
I don't understand.
So much money.
Why do we watch anything? Why do we listen to anybody
he's
on the radio?
He's highly successful, but he's not an athlete.
That's fine. Neither are we. I mean, you are. You just said, you just pointed out you are.
Yeah. But I mean, when you were in school, and I'll explain to you what school is later.
Yeah, sure. I'd love that.
Josh.
What's that?
But when Rudy and I were in school and we played, sure. You could qualify yourself as an athlete.
Okay.
If you're playing a sport, you can be an athlete. You'd be great at it.
This is no longer about you now, but people who watch you are watching you talk about sports. That's close to the same thing, right?
Well, I mean, at least they're gathering information. I'm disseminating information. I'm letting them know.
What's this hour? This hour isn't disseminating information. It's just entertainment, baby.
Yeah,
come hang out with your three friends, Josh, Mick, and Rudy.
Yeah, but I mean, watching somebody, I didn't think it could get lazier than just playing video games. No, it can't. Watching somebody else play video games on YouTube is a step lazier. I feel like I feel like you're my two boys right now. I'm talking to about the same age.
We need to take a break. We'll come back with a little more from Grandpa Mick next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
You want to try to do supercalifragilistic?
Oh yeah, I sprung that on it. I think it's like 33 or something.
It's 34
with Joshua Briscoe.
How I spell it is 33
on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
One more segment with Mick Schaefer of 41 Action News. Mick, we had a poll question last night. Who scares you the most as a potential world-ruling evil corporation? I'm giving you.
Corporations rule worlds.
They always have.
Like taking over, essentially, though, like think Terminator, but it's a corporation.
Well, it's who would you.
I got somebody in mind. I don't know if you're going to say.
Who would you least enjoy the idea of this company taking over? Apple, Disney, Google, Amazon.
Would I least enjoy?
Yeah. Which one would you be most worried about?
Apple, Disney, Google,
and Amazon.
I'm going to go with Disney.
Okay.
Because I could do away with them the easiest of those four.
But you think they would
Although they do own ESPN, sports, I don't know.
Marvel would be gone.
I mean, what way are they ruling the world? What in this scenario?
Everything runs through. They just control the means of production.
Everything.
They control everything.
So this is socialism.
We live in it's Disneyism. In this world that you've created, everything runs through. I think it's the opposite of socialism, but that's okay.
Controlling production is not the opposite of socialism.
It is an authoritarian, central dictatorship, a Disneynatorship, if you will.
Okay.
Who do I
want running things?
Who would you be the most concerned about? Who did you have in mind first of all?
Well, when you thought about the companies that make those robots that are like look like dogs or whatever.
Yes,
now,
yes.
No, don't. That's what I'm. I'm not worried about an iPhone. I'm
Boston
worried about
Dynamics.
Those robot dogs. That's what I'm worried
about. Doesn't Amazon now own Boston Dynamics?
Maybe.
I feel like Jeff Bezos is involved with them now.
I'm fine with Amazon because I got stuff on my porch every day from them, pretty much.
But now one day you open that and it's a robot that launches into your eye and then burrows into your
brain.
You're
the one
that
loves. You want a chip in your wrist? You're fine with that.
I do. No, I do. That's true.
I see. By the government.
Amazon warehouses are supposed to at some point start getting the Boston Dynamic dogs to help carry packages around. Pretty soon, those Amazon packages are going to be delivered
by
those things.
Dogs. Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have those things coming to your house every day.
No, gosh.
Apparently, so Alphabet, which owns Google, sold Boston Dynamics to SoftBank,
yes,
the Japanese telecommunications and technology company. So Google selling Boston Dynamics makes me nervous. Like, they figured out how to do it on their own, and like, we don't need this anymore.
We can do it better.
Do you ever feel bad for the other 36,999 pages of your Google search that you never get to? It's only the first page.
I do always wonder.
When's the last time you went to the second page?
Sometimes I'll go to the second page. There are times.
If I'm looking for something incredibly specific,
yeah,
but I don't even know what that would be.
Yeah, I can't think of a reason off the top of my head. But sometimes I've done it just out of curiosity. Just like I want. But here's the thing: am I going past two? Well, that's too much work at that point.
Go to like page 10,000
just to see what's
there.
What is out there?
Yes, what is out there? And what's the last thing?
Is there ever a last
page? What's the last page?
Or is it like Google, like it's an infinity type
deal? Okay, so I just got to the 10th. I just went to the 10th page of Googling Mick Schaefer, and there's a Mick, there's an obituary.
Is it the musician?
No, it says
the musician Mick Schaefer.
Brenda D. Schaefer. I don't know. You know, it's just grabbing little words from different places. But I do think that if you search your name in the last Google result as an obit, you should not click it because it will tell you how and when you die.
I went to page 14 of Boston Dynamics Google search, and the first headline is just Bezos' new pet, Boston Dynamics robot dog.
Sucks. I hate
by
that.
By KIMT.
I'm going to see how many consecutive, if you Google Mick Schaefer, I'm seeing how many consecutive images you get before there is one of you. There's a sound off.
I would think I'd be the first one.
Oh, there's,
right?
you've got
references to me. Yeah,
you've got two full rows here. Then there's a sound off that doesn't have you in it, but that you tweeted, so we'll count that one. I don't know about this. Something about Alex Smith. Maybe you did a guest spot on NBC Sports Washington.
Whenever they made the trade. Yep.
Look, you're dominating this. What happened to this fresh faced young man right here? Who's he? Where'd that guy go?
2008.
Oh yeah, it's got a little Final Four logo over your shoulder.
That was my old Twitter handle until I moved over to.
What was your
41.
Twitter handle?
No, sorry, my Twitter avatar.
Oh, okay.
Before I moved over to 41.
This is good.
Yeah.
I'm glad we took this trip down memory lane. Okay, hold on. We found the first non-you related one. Is a man with a beard that goes to a Flickr page. Do you know this man?
I do not know that man. I know there is a quasi-famous musician named Mick Schaefer. I don't think that's him.
Looks very... I see a lot of similarities.
I think you guys might actually be related. Okay, quick, tell me this story, and then we'll get out of here. And the show will be over, and the week will be over. I'm seeing a lot of pictures of you with a sweater tied around your shoulders.
Let me see it.
What is happening?
Oh, that was
here?
Awesome.
What is going on here?
So, Mike Maruzars and I, our former main anchor at 41 Action News, we went to Boston. It would have been year 2018 when the Chiefs played there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that to open up the season? I can't remember if that's open. I can't remember. Whatever. It was not. It was not to open up the season. We went there, and we always do these preview bits whenever we go, and we try to have fun with them. So this was going to be us dressed up in these khaki clothes, right? Tacky clothes, more of like kind of frat boys, but like talking numbers and inside football and talking about how the Chiefs need to smash mouth football and be tough and rip their heads off. And then it zooms out, and we're actually on a horse-drawn carriage.
Oh, I remember this.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Because I remember the horse-drawn
and
carriage.
And then we go back to talking football, and then I say, then he says something like, "By the way, your base is looking great." Like my makeup. He's like, "Oh, you should try this powder." And we share powder. Then we go back to talking football again. And then we're like, "Hey, have you tried one of these blueberry scones? They are delightful." And I start feeding it to him. And it was a hit. It was so much fun. And we got a photog and an editor. Chase, it was just so good. He understood the bit and he put it together. It was a lot of fun.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Will you feed me scones next week?
Every time. And I'll give you makeup tips too.
I would love that. Yeah. I could really use some. Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News. Follow him on Twitter @Mick Schaefer. That's the end of the show. So I'm going to unplug my headphones before Mick says something gross.
My sis and mom.